And they hadn't known the Archangel Langhorne and the Archangel Bedard had deliberately and cold-bloodedly murdered Dr. Pei Shanwei and everyone else who disagreed with Langhorne's plan to lock Safehold into a pre-technical civilization forever. So it wasn't a bit surprising that their totally accurate accounts of what they had seen and experienced, thought and felt, after awakening here on Safehold, should be so damnably consistent and convincing. Worse, there were literally millions of them, and not one of them disputed the church's official version. Well, maybe one of them did, she reminded herself, thinking of the Journal of Saint Journeau. It wasn't part of the official testimonies, and there was no question in her mind what the Inquisition would do if it should ever discover that journal's existence. But Saint Journeau, Jeremiah Knowles, had also been an Adam, and his version of events didn't agree with the writ, the testimonies, or Mother Church herself. Of course, that was because he'd been part of Pei Shanwei's Alexandria Enclave. He'd known the truth about Safehold, about the genocidal Gababa, who had destroyed something called the Terran Federation and driven this last remnant of the human race into hiding. He'd known what was supposed to happen here on Safehold, known the mission planners had never intended for all memory of the Gababa to be lost, that they'd recognized that sooner or later, mankind and the Gababa would meet again, and that while it was essential for humanity to temporarily abandon technology, while it hid among the trackless stars, it was just as essential for that technology to reemerge once more in the fullness of time. And it was for knowing that truth, for refusing to abandon that truth, that Pei Shanwei and every other living soul in the Alexandria Enclave had been slaughtered by Langhorne's Rakurai, the cataclysmic kinetic bombardment which had transformed Alexandria into the officially damned and accursed Armageddon Reef. But Knowles, his wife, and his brother-in-law and sister-in-law had survived, hidden away in a tiny colony settlement called Telesburg, which would one day become the capital of the Kingdom of Karis. They'd written their own testimony, their history of what had really happened, and hidden it, hoping that when it was rediscovered centuries later, someone would be willing to recognize the truth when he finally saw it. Someone had been, and the Brethren of Saint Journeau had guarded that knowledge for over 400 years, passing it on, nurturing it in secret, working by gradual degrees to undermine the crushing political and spiritual tyranny of the church Langhorne and Bedard had created. There'd never been many of them, and they'd always had to be insanely cautious, yet they'd never given up. The fact that they'd believed Knowles' journal when they read it still awed Charlian in many ways. The intellectual and spiritual integrity it had taken to accept that lone voice of dissent was staggering whenever she thought about it. She hoped she would have been able to do the same thing, yet deep inside she doubted it. Put her faith in a single voice of protest, however passionate, rather than the massed testimony of 8 million other Adams and Eves? Accept the word of someone who died almost 700 years before Charlian's own birth, rather than the word of the living, breathing Church of God awaiting? Reject every single belief about the will of God she herself had been taught from girlhood? No, despite her own deep disappointment over the church's failings, despite her recognition of the degeneracy and venality of the men who controlled that church, despite her deep-seated conviction that the church had to be somehow impossibly purged of its corruption, she'd never once questioned the fundamental underlying truth she'd been taught about Langhorne and Bedard. And if she was going to be honest, she never would have, if she hadn't met someone who'd been dead even longer than Jeremiah Knowles. Merlin Athrawes, Sajan Merlin. the most deadly warrior in the world, seer of visions, Caleb's protector, mentor, friend, and guide. All of those things, and also a Pika, the personality-integrated cybernetic avatar, which housed the memories, hopes, and dreams of a young woman who had once been named Nimue Albin. Merlin, the one being on the planet of Safehold who knew the truth about the Terran Federation and its destruction because he had seen it with Nimue's own eyes. Because Nimue herself had died over 900 years ago, deliberately sacrificing her life so that this planet, Safehold, might someday become not simply mankind's refuge, but the cradle of humanity's rebirth. No, I would never have believed it without Merlin, she admitted. I would have wanted to, I think, but I wouldn't have. Despite how much I love Caleb, I don't think even he could have convinced me of it. But I've got Merlin. We've got him. And given that, how could I not believe?